The readings today are a selection from John chapters 13 to 14. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for this is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This is the word of the Lord. Later.
Thank you for that. It's a whistle stop travel through two chapters of John's Gospel, and it's worth reading them for yourself if you've got the chance, and go through them piece by piece. So today we have the third in our four-week series on the Gospel of John. In the first week, I mean, I'm at a disadvantage because being an itinerant preacher, I don't know what you actually did 4 weeks ago, but what I did 4 weeks ago is I did chapter one. And in chapter one, we talk about Jesus' passport, almost, you know, his identity, who he is. Interesting thing is that having spent all morning talking about chapter one, one of the members of the congregation came up to me. He said, "When I was in Cliff College many years ago, we did John chapter 1, And it took us the whole term to do it. So you can see it's really compressing John's gospel to do what we're doing. Now, the second part of the gospel that we looked at included John chapters 3 to 12, believe it or not, which were all about Jesus' ministry when he performed a number of miracles and very publicly taught the people. Said things like, I am the bread of life, I am the water of life, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection and the life. And of course, that most famous verse of all, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him may not die but have eternal life. And all the way through the second section, there are links referring back to chapter 1, referring to his glory being revealed and references to the people believing in him. So now we come to the third section, the chapters 13 to 17. Now, despite the length of these chapters, this all took place in quite a short time span, either at or just before the Passover celebration. And we find that the general public are not there, simply Jesus and his disciples. It's like his cabinet meeting. You know, in government you have public meetings where lots of people are present, everybody has that. But in this particular section, it's just Jesus in a group. Jesus' disciples. And hence the title of today's service, Jesus' Discipleship Course. And he had just a few hours in which to top up their understanding of what it means to be a disciple. So far, of course, they picked up lots of information, but they'd been helping Jesus, and there remained an awful lot of gaps in their understanding of what it actually meant to be a follower of Christ. Especially once Jesus went away. So this was the last opportunity Jesus had to bring them up to speed before his crucifixion. So chapter 1 deals with Jesus' identity. Chapters 3 to 12 are his public ministry. And chapters 13 to 17, his personal teaching for the disciples alone. And chapter 13, verse 1, sets the scene. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Fantastic verse, isn't it? And this tells us two things which are followed through in the rest of the section. The climax of his ministry was at hand, and within 24 hours he would be sentenced to death on the cross. The second thing it tells us is about the importance of love. His love and the love his people have for each other. Now, I think at this point, let's turn to each other and say, the peace of the Lord be with you. Express that love to one another. Peace of the Lord be with you. Yeah. You see, the disciples got a surprise when the evening began with what amounts to an enacted parable. As Jesus does the unthinkable thing by washing the disciples' feet. I wasn't going to do that to you this morning. I thought, you know, I think even we would find it quite embarrassing. And some would be thinking in horror, he is doing a slave's job. And Peter, bless him, was thinking, he's not washing my feet. And as an enacted parable, it's all about giving and receiving love. As the group leader, it was not Jesus' place to wash feet. That was normally a slave's work. But Jesus was unlike other leaders. He was not afraid to get his hands wet. And the disciples had also to learn to be gracious enough to accept love when it was given, even in unorthodox ways. How easy do you find it to give love in practical ways? Now, when I was a student, I was visiting an elderly church member who told me how she found it difficult to get to church these days. That's a familiar ring for some of us, isn't it? And when I reported the incident to my church officers, one of them immediately said, couldn't you have offered her a lift? Came straight out of this, and I had to admit, the thought had never crossed my mind. How easy do you find it to give love in practical ways? And when we're offered love, how easy do we find it to accept that love? Or are we like Peter saying, he's not washing my feet? The point of the story is that love has to be given, but we also have to be gracious enough to accept it. Years later, Paul was going to write, he took upon himself the form of servant, humbling himself. And there were little things that some of the disciples noticed. They noticed he laid aside his outer clothing, wrapped himself in a towel and washed their feet. And at the end, he put his clothes back on, as you would. And as time went on and they thought about these things, they could perhaps see in his humbling himself and then taking charge again afterwards, a picture of his death and resurrection. Just like he had said once or twice before, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it again. For some, this is a picture of Jesus' death and resurrection, his imminent death and resurrection. But the more immediate meaning of this enacted parable is that the disciples are all loved by Jesus. And as we read into the next chapters, it's a theme that Jesus goes back to again and again. As Jesus realizes that his time has come, he also sees that the disciples have got a lot to learn, despite having been with him for 3 years. He tells them openly, I have not much time, I'm going away, and you cannot come with me. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. And he immediately follows up his enacted parable saying, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. All men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. But the disciples are not really quite listening. What caught their attention is, he's going away. Why can't we go with him? And anxiety begins to creep in. What would they do without him? Jesus preempts their concern. In my Father's house are many rooms. I will prepare a place for you, and I will come and fetch you. You know the way. But the disciples stall at this. Jesus says, I am not deserting. I'm going away, and you need to know that the Father and I are one. When I go away, the Holy Spirit will come and teach you about me. You will not be left out in the cold. We, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are a very close-knit community. And those who love me and who love each other are part of that community. And at this point, Jesus chose a visual illustration. I am the true vine. Father is the gardener. You are the branches, and you will bear fruit. But to do that, you must remain as branches, because if you get cut off, you won't bear any fruit. And again, he repeats, you must love one another. So what Jesus is saying this is, sure, I'm going away. One day you will follow, but not just yet. You'll be facing everything that the world can throw at you. But remember this, we, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, have everything under control and will support everyone who's joined our community, a community characterized by love. In the meantime, you will grieve, but your sorrow will turn to joy. And finally, Jesus seems satisfied that the disciples understand enough and that faith has begun to take root. Jesus' final act before his passion was to pray. And it's a prayer that is well worth studying. He starts by praying for himself. Father, the hour has come that your Son may glorify you. For you grant him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. And this prayer is an amazing reflection of a statement we first saw in John chapter 1 and verse 14. The Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And again, it underlines Jesus' identity. And we have no doubt about his close relationship with the Father. Jesus' prayer then focuses on the disciples. In his prayer, he recognizes their spiritual growth, and he prays for their protection. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name that you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. And we are grateful to God because he knows the hardships that we will face, or we are facing now perhaps. And he asks that God will protect his own even in the harshest of circumstances. But then Jesus' prayer goes a bit further. And the first time I read this as a teenager, it blew me away. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. How many have believed in him through somebody else telling them? Includes most of us. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. And of course, the thing that startled me was that Jesus, on his last night in that upper room, prayed for every single one of us. He prayed that we might be of one mind amongst ourselves and one mind with God our Father in heaven. And this was his last prayer before he went out to face betrayal and death. In these chapters of John, we are brought face to face with the power of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit. Not just the power, but the unity that is revealed. And through this teaching, we understand that power and unity is relayed and passed on to all those who have come into a relationship with him through faith, through belief, and through commitment. And it goes every which way through the system. Love one another as I have loved you. Amen.